Anybody got anything else you need to do? If the Lord's putting it on your heart, tell me right now. All right, Jeremiah chapter number 9. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 9. I'm going to give you a thought tonight, and we'll go. You can go fellowship, get you some ice cream. I love these summer Sunday nights. I love them. I enjoy it a lot. Camp will be in just 4 weeks now, July the 9th. We're probably going to start our sign-up sheet next week. And so you don't want to miss it. Come ready to go, fired up. Young people, don't let nothing or nobody knock you out. Don't let them do it. All right, Jeremiah chapter number 9. Tonight, Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet, if you've never read the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah got one time where he was absolutely fed up with everything, had it up to here, we would say, and decided he was just going to skip country and run off and into the wilderness. And I'm sure all of you, if you hadn't, you will one day feel like that. You know, I'd just like to just leave the country, preacher. Get away from everything and everybody. Not have to deal with my job. Not have to deal with my family. Not have to deal with my church people. Not have to deal with my boss. Not have to deal with my wife. I'd just like to just get away from everything. Jeremiah faced that.
Right.
You're not the first person that felt like that.
That's right.
Matter of fact, God lets us see those Old Testament prophets in their humanity.
Yes,
to help us identify with them.
Sure.
These bunch of preachers and Christians that we got, these super saints we got nowadays, give you the impression that they are never tempted, never have a problem, and never have a burden. That's not true. That's not Bible Christianity. It's not humanity. The people in the Bible were tempted as we are. They failed as we do. Elijah doubted. The disciples doubted. Peter doubted. A lot of them had a hard time staying where they need to stay with God. So this little thought tonight is for every one of you who ever felt like just giving up and just forgetting the whole thing. Here it is already summertime, and the devil's putting more pressure on you than ever before. I mean, you just want to just go do something stupid. You want to just leave town. You want to just say, phooey on every bit of everything, everybody. I've had it. One lady called me one time, not from our church, not even from this state. And she said, I've given to my husband, to my family, to the church. She said, I'm tired of it. She said, I can't do it no more. Now, the truth is that's not true. She just got backslid. But the truth is, it is impossible to be burnt out doing the will of God. People say, well, I've just done so much for God, I got burnt out. That's impossible. You cannot get burnt out doing what God wants you to do. If you're burnt out, you was either trying to do it on your own or you was doing something God did. God don't tell you. The happiest and healthiest and most rest you'll ever have is doing God's will. Amen? That's right. That's right. There's more peace doing the will of God than there is anything in this world. Where you have turmoil is when you're trying to make yourself do the will of God and your flesh won't go the other way. That will put you in the nut house. So tonight, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place.
Yes, sir.
He wants to just go out west somewhere and go get him a cabin in Gatlinburg or something. And of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them.
Yeah.
For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like a bow for life. See, and he's seeing all the faults of God's people. And that's what happens when you get backslid. You start seeing God's people's faults. And the church is false. And well, people are Christian. I talked to a lady this week. We witnessed to her in the motel. Lady working in the motel. I felt so sorry for her. Y'all pray for her. Her name was Barbara. We all tried to witness to her. She was cleaning the rooms yesterday morning. And I said, Barbara, they told us that we could stay in our room until 2 o'clock this evening because church starts at 3 and all of us get to stay. She said, that's okay. I said, you want to go to church with us tonight? She said, I can't. I've got to work. I said, you go to church tomorrow? And she said, I don't go to church. And I said, why? She said, well, my husband was traveling somewhere. She said he was traveling somewhere. And she said he went to run out of gas, car tore up or something. She said he went to a preacher inside a church and knocked on his door. And he said that preacher wouldn't help my husband. And she said, preachers that won't even help. She said, I don't even go to church and I'll help people. And I said, now ma'am, preachers are not perfect. Just because a person a preacher don't mean. And boy, she was dogging that preacher and all church. And she said, we don't go to church at all because church people claim to be Christians and they won't even help us. Now, you know, she had a point. Church people ought to help people. And I said, but now listen, Barbara. I said, when you stand before God, y'all listen to me? I said, when you stand before God and God says, why didn't you go to church and do right? You can't say, because that preacher never helped my husband. You can't say, because I know Christians, that ain't what they're supposed to be. You are going to answer to God for yourself. You can't blame the Sunday school teacher. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the deacon. You can't blame somebody that you work with. You can't say, well, so-and-so claims to be a Christian, and they're not what they claim to be, so I live like the devil. You can't blame nobody for what you do but yourself, and you'll answer to God for what you do. There's a lady come to me one time. I'd preached up in Marion. I'd preached on how to keep from having an affair. And how you can keep your marriage vows and how you can know. And I got a whole long sermon. That's the only time I ever preached that sermon. It was a doozy. I'm not kidding you. And I had a bunch of stuff in there. And I said, how you can keep yourself from having an affair. And I named off a bunch of stuff on there and everything. And I said, you do whatever you got to do. You get away from that person. You got to do whatever you got to do. And this lady called me. One of the things I said in the message was... there's a lot of people have a wrong idea about stuff like that. They think, well, my husband went to the store and he met this pretty woman. Oh, no, he's going to cheat on me. No. It never happens like that. Maybe once out of 1,000, it might happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. The way it happens is somebody that you work with, somebody that you see on a regular basis, and you talk, you know, and you're friendly, and the next thing you know, they're a little more friendly than they should be, and the next thing you know, you're sitting down eating a sandwich together, just talking and cutting up, and they, quote, they understand you. Your husband don't understand you. Your wife don't understand you, but they understand you. And that person, they just seem so nice, and you hadn't seen them since way back in elementary school. You know, or you hadn't seen, and there they are. And you don't realize the devil sent them into your life, but there they are. And it seems like the Lord put them there to help you and counsel you. But the devil sent them there. And this lady called me. She said, Brother Danny, she said, you know what you preached on? She said, I am in trouble. And I said, what's wrong? She said, there's this man. She said, we work together. She said, Brother Danny, she said, he's so nice. And me and him talk. And he said, we just hit it off just like that. And she said, I'm attracted to him. She said, I can't help it. And she said, I know it's not right. And I said, have you done anything? She said, no, I promise. We hadn't touched. We hadn't held hands. We hadn't done nothing. But she said, Brother Danny, I feel it coming. She said, I know. She said, I think about him all the time. She said, it makes me feel so good. You know what that's like? It's like getting high. It's like getting a shot of cocaine or something or whatever. It's a drug. And because you feel like somebody finally likes me. Somebody finally appreciates me. Somebody finally helped me. I don't know why I'm getting on the phone all this, but planning on it. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I told her? I said, you better get away from that situation. I don't care if you have to find you another job. I don't care what you got to do. You get away from it. Because you can't handle it. I can't handle it. They can't handle it. And you can't. And you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't just play around with the edge like that. You'll go off the edge. I don't care how strong you are. You say, I'm strong. You ain't stronger than David was.
Amen. And you ain't stronger than King David. Amen. And brother, I'm telling you, the old book said, oh, Ed McAfee said, you play with fire, you get burned. Amen. You say, I know when to quit. David didn't know when to quit. The only way you can deal with that sin is hurt somebody's feelings.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Somebody. I told a lady the other day, she said, well, how do I get out of it? She's in another state. Nobody in my church. I ain't got nobody in mine. She called me and she said, Brother Danny, I know this man at work, and I work at a hospital, and he's a doctor, and he's flirting with me. And she said, I like it. She said, I'm telling you, I like it. And she said, he says all the things that I want to hear, and he's everything that I want. And I know he's interested in me, and he's wanting to take me out. And she said, I said, I tell you what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to mess up your kid's life. You're fixing, listen, your kids will never recover from something like that. They'll never, ever get over it. It'll scar them. They'll pay for it forever. You might wind up in a wheelchair dying with cancer. Ain't no telling what. I know some that have. I know of several that have died with cancer, Brother Ice, or something like that. And ladies and gentlemen, I told her, I said, hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Hurt his feelings. She said, but I want to be nice to him. I said, you can't.
That's right.
You can't.
Preach it.
You gotta hurt his feelings. Hurt his feelings.
Amen.
Make him mad.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to. You better do it.
Yeah,
you better do it. He said, I want to pet this rattlesnake. You better hurt that rattlesnake's feelings. It'll bite you. It'll bite you, brother. You don't play with no rattlesnake. Hey, you don't play, brother, with no rattlesnake. It'll bite you. I'm telling you. You say, well, Brother Danny, I like the attention. I like that attention. Well, who don't, brother? Who don't? But I'm going to tell you, you better make sure that you say, well, how do I get them out of my heart? You pray it out.
Yeah.
Pray it out. Pray it out. Amen. If you're in love with somebody you ain't got no business being in love with, pray it out. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody must have needed that. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Jeremiah just wanted to quit. He said, I can't handle it. He said, I can't do this no more. He said, I can't make it no more. He said, I'm going down. I'm about to give up. Listen, sin can get a hold of you so strong that you'll finally just say, Lord, I just can't do it. I meant to do right. I was going to do right, but it's just too strong. I can't do it. Right then's when you need to call on the Lord. Right then's when you need to, call your pastor. Get one of your Christian friends. Say, look, you pray and fast with me. You pray and fast with me. You ask God to help me so I won't go down and ruin my family, my kids' life. I want God's will to be done in my life.
Amen.
You say, oh, that I had a place in the desert. Well, I know where your place in the desert is. It's right up here. Because no matter how far you go, you can't get away from yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
You say, I'll just leave town. You taking your trouble with you. It's you. Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
You know who Danny Castle's biggest problem is? Danny Castle. Right here. He said, you know your biggest enemy? That fella you shave every morning. That's what they used to say. That's right, buddy. That man you look in the mirror every day. I like what old Dr. Ruckman said. He said he'd get up every morning and look in the mirror and say, all right, what are you up to now? Amen. That flesh is conniving, brother. That flesh is sneaky. You gotta watch that flesh, buddy. I'm telling you, it'll finagle around and try to have its way. It'll try to justify sin. It'll try to make something right that ain't right. It'll try to say, well, under these circumstances. No, sir, brother. No, sir. There ain't no circumstances where sin is right. There ain't no circumstances where wrong is right. There is no special situation where it's all right to sin. Jeremiah said, I'm just going to run away and leave town. But that wasn't the answer. Tell you what you better do. You better remember who all's looking at you. You better remember your kids. I remember before we started this church, and I had a lot of hard decisions to make. And I remember when I'm making decisions, Lord have mercy. I go this way, I go that way, I go this way, and I do that, this will happen. If I don't do that, that won't happen. If I do that, and you drive yourself crazy trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. And I had people in West Virginia, my kin folks,
They said, Danny, come up here and start a church. They said, if you'll start a church up here, we'll get you a building and everything. There's enough of us. And in the back of my mind, I said, yeah, I know y'all. You come back two Sundays, and then the FBI couldn't find you up there and everything. And I said, no, I don't believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. I had some people down in Georgia, and I had some people in Florida. I had a friend of mine down in Gastonia. He said, you come down here to Gastonia. He said, you're on the radio down here. He said, you got a lot of listeners. There's 1,000 people that know you down in Gaston County in Charlotte. And he said, I'll give you a building. There was another man down toward Falston, North Carolina. He took me down there, and he had this big auditorium. And he said, Danny, I'll let you have this whole place. He said, I'll give you $500 a week, just like that, starting out. And he said, you just preach, and we'll fill this place up with people. And I mean, it was just offered to him there. And I said, man, I just don't believe that's what God wants me to do. I really don't. And you know what I kept thinking about? I kept thinking about all much, and I kept thinking, if I do that. And you know what kept getting my heart? Them three girls sitting right there. Carrie, Carissa, and Corey. At least Carissa and Corey. Carrie, as usual, backslid. I don't know where she's at. But anyway, I kept thinking. I kept thinking. I said, Lord, I got one 12 years old. I said, I got one 12 years old. I said, God, I got a 12-year-old. I cannot take off to Florida. I cannot do that. I said, God, you shall. And I narrowed it down and narrowed it down and narrowed it down. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. There was days when I didn't have no strength to go on. There was days when I'm telling this to help you tonight. There were days when I had no strength to go on for God. I didn't have nothing in me. But all I could think about was them three girls. I said, God, I cannot let my girls down. I cannot. I'll die trying. If it kills me, it don't matter what I want. God, let me do it for them girls. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can't do right for no other reason, do right for your children. Do right for your kids. And God will honor it. God will honor it. I've taught my girls all their life that family sticks together. I said, family sticks together. We don't desert each other. We stick together. I'm not going to move out somewhere to leave my family. I'm not going to do it. It's not worth it. God told me to, and I had to. I'd take them with me. Guess what? We're all moving. Amen. I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, there's things more important. There's things more important. Your family is. If the devil can get you to entertain the thought of quitting, he's got his foot in the door. If he can get you to just think about quitting, he's got his foot in the door. You say you ever thought about quitting? I sure have. Not over 5 seconds. Because something in Keyson said, I can't. I know what God done for me. You can't quit. You can't quit for the Lord. Bus workers. You say, well, I just don't even like it no more. Pray until you do start liking it. Double up on your time this week and watch some new kids come in and get saved. But fall in love with it all over again. That's what the Bible means about in season, out of season. You serve God when it's fun and you serve God when it's not fun. Amen. I mean, I feel good tonight physically, but I preached before when I didn't. I wish I could tell y'all. I mean, I wish I could tell you some stories tonight of the times. You wouldn't believe it. Sometimes you just like to disappear. Sometimes you just like to say, Lord, I can't go on another mile. I want to get that song in a minute. When I've gone just as far as I can go, I can count on you, Lord, to carry me through. We're living in a time when the devil's throwing everything he's got at us. I heard a preacher on the radio this morning. I know this is scattered. I done just like I did this morning. Didn't even get to my outline. But I heard a preacher on the radio this morning. And you know what he said? And I don't know. I've heard experts say this. They say, is this the next election that we're getting ready to have in November? That thing. They say that thing. There's no telling. They said we're going to lose a lot of our liberties in the next 4 years, possibly. They say our country is going to change a lot in the next 4 years. Gas is down right now just so the election can be rigged. You wait till after it's over. You wait till next summer. You wait till next summer. They're going to sock it to us. And there's a big movement and force working against our free enterprise here in this country. We may see some bad times. We may see some rough times. We got to have the goods. We got to have the goods. I don't know where you stand with the Lord tonight, but y'all come on, brother. I don't know where you stand with God tonight, but maybe there's something here tonight you need to get dealt with. Maybe there's something you need to get dealt with here tonight. And if there is, I would invite you to just get in this altar. You say, Brother Danny, if I came to the altar after you preached on all that stuff, somebody might think, look, it don't matter what nobody thinks.
Amen.
The truth is, everybody in here ought to be in the altar. That's the truth. So if you don't come to the altar, we're probably going to think you're guilty of one of these sins and trying to hide it. Seriously, really. It wouldn't hurt every one of us. We ought to let God. When I've gone just as far as I can go, I can count on you, Lord. Carry me through. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Lord, I thank you for our church.
Yes.
Thank you for the Word of God and for the encouragement from it tonight. Now, Lord, I pray for that brother, sister, man, woman here tonight who needs help. Please, Lord, please help them, Lord. Help them to make up their mind, Lord, tonight. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the towel, but we're just going to keep on keeping on till this thing's over. I ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Many times in life, the burdens get me down.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Let's get the
altar. I just can't make it through the day. I can count on you, Lord, to show me the way.
Amen.
When it seems I just can't stand upon my own.
Amen. Come on now.
You are the rock, Lord. I am standing on.
Just as far as I can go, I can count on you, Lord, to carry my love. When I've done everything I know to do, I can count on you, Lord, to carry me through. Never leave me to walk alone.
Amen.
You are the rock I'm standing on.
Come on now.
When I've gone. just as far as I can go. I can count on you, Lord, to carry my love. And I've done everything I know to do. I can count on you, Lord, to carry me through. I can count on you, Lord, to carry me through.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Make sure you got everything straight tonight. Well, it's been an unusual service here tonight. I believe the Lord's had His way. And I believe He's worked in a lot of hearts. Mm-hmm. Folks, we're starting into the summer of 2012. Your kids need every church service you can get them in. You need all the Spirit. Just tonight, these words have made you think right. They make you think right. That's why you need to go to church. It makes you think right. If all you do is watch TV and go to work and talk to people, you think the wrong way.